The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6010. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy, Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into the Week 13 Fantasy Focus DFS Podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp. I am joined, of course, by Mike Clay. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. My stomach's rumbling a little bit. I'm excited for family to come to town, settle in, eat some turkey for my Thanksgiving
Don't you dare.
Dinner.
Don't you dare.
Didn't you hear Booger on Monday
Night
Football?
I heard
last
it.
Week?
We all heard
he
it, Mike.
Turkey, he has ham. So no, actually, we don't have ham. It's fun to argue about food at Thanksgiving.
It really is.
But we're lucky just to have to be able to sit down with their family and have a nice, delicious meal. So I'm anxious.
Excited about it.
I can't wait. I love Thanksgiving because I like food, as you know.
So. Food and three games of football that we get
know,
to watch,
right?
Which is a
what
blast.
A what a great day.
I know. It's so fantastic. Unfortunately, today we are not able to be joined live by Al Zeidenfeld because something is far more important than us.
Mr. Fancy.
However, he did send us some audio clips that we're going to be able to play throughout the podcast. So, Al, why don't you go ahead and tell us what was more important than Mike and I in this podcast?
Hey guys, sorry I couldn't make the pod this week. I am on a trip to Chicago to visit family with my wife, my kids, visiting my in-laws, all the aunts and uncles and cousins. My kids love it every time that we go there for Thanksgiving. Every year it's kind of a family tradition for us. So I apologize that I couldn't make the actual taping of the show, but I will have my picks at every position for you, as well as my pick for the winner of this week's head-to-head between Mike and Daniel.
Okay, now I sort of feel like a jerk. Because,
I was going to be mean.
Yeah.
I had something prepared.
All right.
All right.
Fine. Whatever, Al. Go do fun stuff with quote, family.
Yeah.
And
choose your kids. I've never met his kids. Does he even have kids?
He does. Yeah. I have met both of his kids and his wife, and they're all lovely. They're all fantastic people.
Okay. I believe you.
Let's get into this thing. You want to do it?
Let's do it.
All right. Week 13 is right in front of us. Join our weekly contest. I don't know why it says one weekly contest. Join our weekly contest. Unlimited participants. Free to enter. Costs no money. We say this every single time. Mike and I always tweet it out so that you can see where it goes. For DraftKings, $200 in weekly prizes. Top prize brings home $25. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And just a reminder, it's the main slate. So we were just talking about the three Thanksgiving games. This our analysis will not include those. So if
Correct.
You're on DraftKings, FanDuel, wherever you play, and you see contest on there, there's going to be some for Thanksgiving. I'm sure we'll do a few. Just focus in on those six teams playing on Thanksgiving. That's great.
Yep.
We're just going to cover the main slate for Sunday. So the Millionaire Maker, there's 50-50s, all those kind of fun things. So just a heads up that if you don't hear any of your precious Lions on the show, that's why.
Don't do it anyways.
Because they play on Thanksgiving. Did you know that?
I did know that. As a history aficionado, I did know that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's look ahead at our first quarterback, Mike Clay, where Jameis Winston, $6,300, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. A couple things about Jameis. 300 yards passing in each of the last six games. He's had double-digit touchdowns in four of his last five. Also a double-digit, sorry, not double-digit. Had two or more, double-digit touchdowns would be incredible. Two or more touchdowns in four of the last five. Also two or more interceptions in four of the last five. Do you have anything left to add?
Yeah, he's, no, I don't, because you just took right.
I said two things. He threw for a lot of yards. He's throwing some touchdowns.
Read right off my stat sheet. Okay, let me do the analysis.
All right. You're right. Okay, sorry.
All right, so let's just repeat everything you just said. No, I'm going to expand a little bit. 300-plus passing yards in six straight and eight of his past nine. So
that's
huge.
He has been
money in that department. Also has at least 23 rushing yards for his past five, so adding a little bit value that way. More
that's
so
surprising because the beginning of the year, he was not running that much.
He started running more last year, and we thought, okay, that's good for his value. Kind of stopped doing it in the first month. Now he's back on track.
Coming out of the bye.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Two-plus passing touchdowns in 7 of 11 games. You're right. Throws a lot of picks, but he makes up for it in a big way, especially with that 300-yard bonus. In DraftKings, a neutral matchup here against Jacksonville. We're used to this being a tough matchup, not so much anymore. They've actually faced the 27th fewest pass attempts, but have allowed the 13th most fantasy points to quarterbacks, including a 7.6 yards per attempt that is in the upper half of the league. They've also allowed a league-high 5 rushing touchdowns, which is interesting because, as we just mentioned, Winston running the ball a little bit more. Two of them were from Ryan Tannehill last week. He scored 4 all-purpose touchdowns in that game to Tannehill against this defense last week. So at 6,300, Winston, a good play here.
Okay. Love to hear that. Let's look at another quarterback here. Daniel Jones, $5,600, taking on the Green Bay Packers. Daniel Jones has been a little bit of an enigma this year for me, Mike Clay, and I'm trying to figure out which Daniel Jones we're going to see. Obviously, though, $5,600 is pretty good value.
Yeah, he has been. I mean, sometimes the matchup sets up nicely for him and he delivers. Other time, he went through that stretch in the middle of the season where he had a bunch of tough defenses and he really struggled. But
yeah.
This is going to be a pretty good matchup for him. And he's a good target if you're looking for a discount quarterback, right? He's only $5,600. He's the 13th highest priced quarterback. I like him a little bit more than that. I think he's a fine value. 2+ passing touchdowns in 3 of his past 4 games. He's hit 300 passing yards, again, a bonus, in 2 of those games. He's the number 10. I don't think we really acknowledge this enough. The number 10 scoring fantasy quarterback since he took over as starter for Eli Manning in week 3. Yeah, so he's basically a fringe QB1. So he's delivered the goods there. 4th in passing touchdowns during that span. Another one that's probably surprising, right? The number 4 quarterback in passing touchdowns since he took over. Also has 2 rushing touchdowns. He's QB6 on the season with 235 rushing yards. Adds value that way. The Packers defense above average against quarterbacks and fantasy points allowed. They've allowed only 14 passing touchdowns, that's 10th fewest, but a little over 3,000 passing yards is 9th most and the 6th highest yards per attempt at 8.2. So the matchup, again, I think it comes in kind of neutral for him. Adds value with his legs, obviously throwing a lot of touchdowns as well. They're at home against Green Bay here. I like him a lot this week in season-long NDFS.
Okay. We're going to move on to our third quarterback here, Al Smizzle. Al, why don't you tell us who it is that you have at quarterback this week?
At quarterback, my pick is Nick Foles. He's only $5,700, and he's got the absolute dream matchup against Tampa Bay, who can't stop opposing teams from throwing to their wide receivers, can't stop opposing teams from throwing to their tight ends, and has allowed the second most points per game to opposing quarterbacks. Again, he is really cheap. He's got a really high floor. He's attempted a ton of passes in every game that he's been there, has a great pass-catching running back, also in a good spot this week. Very few paths to failure for Nick Foles. They've allowed a league-high 78.6 yards gained against Tampa Bay, have been through the air. They're a reverse funnel. They don't let you run it, but they will let you throw it. And 6 quarterbacks have hit the yardage bonus on DraftKings against Tampa Bay this season. That includes Teddy Bridgewater and Daniel Jones. So it's not all pros that have done it. Love this spot for Nick Foles. We've been streaming against Tampa Bay all year. It didn't work in week 12. I'm going right back to the well in week 13.
I love the phrase reverse funnel. I don't know why. I just think it's fantastic. Like, there's not a better word that we could use, but reverse funnel's good.
Yeah, funnel's a new word to DFS in the recent years,
yeah,
right, since it's become popular, and it's a fun one, too.
Yeah.
Maybe we should explain that?
Reverse funnel?
Just do that?
Yeah.
No, just funnel in general. Like, yeah. Funnel just, like, essentially, think about the Rams, right? So they get Jalen Ramsey. He shadows number one receivers on one side of the field. But their number 2 corner is not very good. So with all that attention over there from the defense, essentially targets get funneled to the other side of the field. So the number 2 receiver can kind of pick up the slack and have a good fantasy day, kind of a sleeper play. And you see that time and time again, including with that Rams defense. So that's essentially what we mean when we say funnel.
Okay. Let's look at one more quarterback here. And I'm gonna caveat this with saying Carson Wentz has been tough.
Mm-hmm.
Very tough. Last 5 weeks, he has only had a single passing touchdown each of the last 5 weeks. However, this week, he's taken on the Miami Dolphins. $5,800. The Dolphins are allowing a touchdown on just under 30% of drives this season, which is the second highest rate, and the Eagles have averaged the 4th most drives per game since week 7. So they are out there on the field, moving the ball against a team that continues to be able to give up touchdowns. It is at least a good matchup, and Carson Wentz, I do not believe, is as bad as the last couple games have shown. That being said, it is a little bit tough to trust him, but contrarian play, especially because the idea that, like, people might want to play him because he's playing against Miami, but, like, if you've seen what Carson has done, it's going to be tough for you to want to slot him in there, but he's got good value here.
Yeah, really tough matchup. And then last week at home against an improved Seattle defense, was missing so many pieces. I mean,
New England and Seattle back-to-back is tough anyone.
Both of them off a bye, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was without his top 3 receivers. He may have Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar back. He could have perhaps Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks back on the line. We'll keep an eye on that into the weekend. And that'll certainly can impact your decision-making, but they're also playing Miami. This needs to be a get-right game from the Eagles or it's over. I mean, if they get upset here or just have another dud, I mean, it's over. So big game for Philly. I think I like you. Obviously, Wentz is a value on our board this week. I think he's a fine play.
Also, I just want to say huge props to Brandon Brooks. I love the idea of like transparency and being a guy that's like, let's end this total stigmatism around like depression and anxiety. And like, listen, we all deal with it. It's stuff like It has nothing to do with fantasy football, but just I love being able to see that, and good for him for being able to come out.
Huge supporter of that guy. Yeah, and he's done that for years, too. He's been open about that. He's kind of a bigger-time player now, more well-known, so it's out there a little more. Just got an extension, contract extension, so congrats to him. But, yeah, hopefully gets everything. You know, he's able to get out there, and I know he wants to play and help the Eagles. So
if
he can do that this weekend.
All right, let's look at some running backs here. Leonard Fournette, $7,500 taken on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know the Bucs have been good against the run, and I put that in air quotes, Mike, because apparently the last couple weeks maybe not as big as they had been earlier on in the season.
No doubt. It's still somewhat of a scary matchup. They've allowed the third fewest fantasy points to running backs this season, the fewest scrimmage yards, only 5 touchdowns. But again, if you look at recent history, especially when they've played really good running backs, you see something a little bit different. You see them get exposed to some extent. Alvin Kamara in week 11, 22 points, fantasy points, of course. Chris Carson in week 9 had 13 fantasy points and averaged over right around 6.6 yards per carry. In week 8, Derrick Henry averaged 4.7 yards per carry against him. How about week 6? Christian McCaffrey, another workhorse back, 22 fantasy points and 2 touchdowns in that one. So they have been, top end running backs like a Leonard Fournette have had success. So that's why I have some confidence here. He is $7,500, not cheap by any means, but it's still like, 3,000 less than a guy like Christian McCaffrey. And Fournette is really the ultimate workhorse in the league this season. He's played 88% of the snaps. He's handled 86% of the carries. He's handled 18% of the targets. Daniel, he's coming off a game last week in which he finally got in the end zone. I mean, he's been a great fantasy player this season and was not scoring touchdowns. He had 2 last week on 33 touches.
Wow.
That included a career-high 12 targets and 9 receptions. He's just under 19 carries and 7 targets per game. There's just so much to like in terms of volume. You chase volume, especially in DFS, if you're looking at to fill out your running back spot in cash. Fournette is just a classic fit for that kind of spot.
Okay, let's look at another guy that has been, he is a big-name running back that has just disappointed this year, Saquon Barkley. $7,400 taken on what appears to be a sieve of a run defense in the Green Bay Packers. I'm assuming even though Saquon has struggled, that's what this is all about, is the matchup here against Green Bay.
Yeah, that's certainly part of it. I think people are afraid of him right now, too, so maybe a pivot to him and take a shot in a good matchup here. And think about that. We just mentioned Christian McCaffrey is priced at $10,500 and still a fine value, by the way. We're not going to talk too in-depth about him. And Saquon Barkley, who we expected to be kind of a similar producer this season, was actually drafted ahead of him in most leagues.
Yep.
That's $7,400. A just major gap there. And I still think Barkley has it in him to have huge games like that. And let's dive into that a little bit. 15.7 carries and 6.3 targets per game in 7 full games. Still getting a lot of volume there. He's played 86% of the snaps. He's handled 86% of the carries. He's handled 16% of the targets. Those numbers sound a lot like Leonard Fournette, who we just talked about, right? So he's still getting a lot of usage. 16-plus fantasy points in 5 of 6 games prior to his duds the past 2 weeks. And still had 19 and 18 touches in those 2 games. So the usage is there. We just need to turn it into fantasy production. And again, you mentioned the matchup. 3rd most fantasy points allowed to running backs this season by the Packers. 5th most rushing yards. 2nd most rushing touchdowns with 13. The 3rd worst yards per carry. The most carries allowed inside the 5. And they've been very good in the receiving categories. But again, Barkley's getting almost 16 carries a game. He can dominate in that area. Again, this is going to be a theme, so maybe we should just address it now. We like this game a lot. This Packers-Giants game has a lot of players that are values. I'm going to be stacking them up in tournaments, in cash as well. If this game ends up like 16-10, I'm going to have some problems this week. But there are a lot of value plays in this one. And again, as we get in the other positions, you'll see more of that.
Yeah. Saquon's been missing those breakout runs that he had last year. And this sort of feels like a defense that he could take advantage of that and maybe hit some big ones there. So
no doubt.
All right. Al, why don't you give us your running back pick for week 13?
At running back, I'm going to look for a little bit of value with Jonathan Williams for Indianapolis for the Colts. He has taken over exceptionally well in the 2 games or 1.5 games that he's taken over already for Marlon Mack. 29 touches last week. That's the most of any Indianapolis Colts running back this year. We were hoping that Mack would get that sort of a volume. Mack had 7 20-touch games, so this is a really high-volume role for him to step into, and it looks as though he's the favorite back. Caught 3 balls in Week 12, and Tennessee is allowing the 2nd most running back receptions per games this season at 6.6. Now, do I expect Jonathan Williams to automatically take on that sort of role in the passing game? No, but if he just catches a couple of balls to give us that floor and maintains that 20 touch ceiling that he's got, or 20 touch expectation that I think that I have for him this week, that gives me a guy who's playing at home in a favored situation against the Titans here, running behind one of the best offensive lines in football. I'll take that for 5,300 and move on with my lineup.
All right. Another guy that I really like, Philip Lindsay. All right. There are just three qualified running backs gaining 5 yards at a higher clip than Lindsay while being stopped at or behind the line of scrimmage less often. That's Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, and Ezekiel Elliott. Now, those are different slates than the one that we're playing, but those three come in at an average of $7,200 this week. Lindsay, $5,000 behind Malcolm Brown. Malcolm freaking Brown.
Wow.
Like, yeah. That is a steal for Philip Lindsay. And he's been a steal not all year long, but there have been a number of weeks where we were on this Lindsay bandwagon.
Yeah, he's hit pretty much when we've talked about him, especially early in the season. He was underpriced. And Daniel, at that point, he was in a two-headed attack with Royce Freeman. That's not the case anymore.
Nope.
They decided a couple weeks ago that we're going to go with Lindsay as our lead back. His usage is up, and he's right on the cusp of a big game. So, and again, you're not paying for it, right? $5,000,
yeah.
You can still put a great lineup together, and if he comes through with 20 for you, that's going to pay off in a big way. So no doubt about it.
That would be huge. Miles Sanders, another guy to keep an eye on, especially if Jordan Howard doesn't play.
If Jordan Howard's out, yep.
Yep. And then Christian McCaffrey that we mentioned, you know, 10,500. Yes. It's just tough. You put Christian McCaffrey in your lineup and you're basically counting on 30 fantasy points. So
yeah, you are. But, you know, if he doesn't come through, if he just has a rare down game, you know, the rest of your lineup's not going to be great because you spent a lot of money on Christian McCaffrey. But again, he shows up as one of the best, a top five value at running back because he is so good. So, again, if you can find ways to fit him in, find some value plays. Not sure there's a lot of those guys, like backup running backs who are just super underpriced, like where you can get a major discount somewhere. I'm not sure there's a ton of those this week, which could hurt your chances of starting a guy like McCaffrey. But it's possible. And by the way, you're also not going to have that option of using Michael Thomas this week because he's playing Thursday in the main slate. So maybe that gives you more incentive here to use McCaffrey because you're not going to pick one or the other there.
Also, I know it hurts you, but Bo Scarborough, you're not going to be able to use him this week either, Mike Clay. He's playing Thursday.
Oh,
apologize about that.
All right, thanks for letting me know, Lions fan.
Yeah, okay. You get it. Another guy that we really like here, wide receiver Mike Clay, Davante Adams, $7,000 in this aforementioned.
Yeah, we seem to like that game.
New York Giants game.
Yeah. Packers at Giants. Keep that on the back burner when you're setting your lineup. Yeah, Adams, 7,000 here, the fourth highest priced wide receiver, but so much alike here. I feel like he's undervalued right now because he hasn't scored touchdowns. But check out his target totals this season. 9, 9, 5, 15, 11, 10, and 12. And they're in chronological order. So since he's come back from the injury, Aaron Rodgers has gone to him early and often. 7-plus catches in 4 straight games. And think about that. Minimum of 7 catches right there. I mean, if you get 10 yards per catch, I mean, you're already nearing 15 fantasy points. That is huge right off the bat. That doesn't even include touchdowns or long plays. It's unreal. He's averaging a career-high 29.9% target share this season. Think about that. Think about how good he was last year. His target share is higher here in the 2019 season. He's hit the 100-yard bonus in 3 games this season. Remember, he missed some time hurt as well. He's gotten a double-digit fantasy points in 6 consecutive games. He has only 1 touchdown this season, but his expected total is 3.2. He's the 8th unluckiest player in that department this season. So that should turn the corner here soon. And also, we love to match up. Giants, 2nd most fantasy points at receivers. They've actually faced the 8th fewest pass routes against wide receivers.
Interesting.
But are allowing the 8th most receptions, the 2nd most receiving yards, the 3rd most touchdown catches with 15. They're 6th or worse in yards per target, yards per reception, catch rate to wide receivers. So Janoris Jenkins, DeAndre Baker, Corey Ballantyne in the slot, they haven't been good enough. And Adams is getting, you know, most likely going to see 10 to 15 targets in this game. I like him at 7,000 a lot.
Heck yeah. Let's move on the other side where you're looking at Sterling Shepard.
Whoa, another one from that game.
What? This is incredible.
Never saw that coming.
All right, so here's the thing. You're going to have to talk me into Sterling Shepard because the value here is fantastic. Yep. He's obviously missed a bunch of time. Came back last week, only 5 for 15 against Chicago. But, again, under $5,000, $4,900, taking on a Packers defense that looks like it could be taken advantage of.
Yeah, I knew when I saw the box score from last week, his first game back from the concussion, which, by the way, glad he's over that, glad he's healthy, because that
100%.
Was scary. It looked like, you know, maybe his career was in jeopardy with him having setbacks, and he's had a lot. But good to see him back on the field. Good to go. Again, only $4,900. He's the 33rd highest priced wide receiver. But, again, after seeing the box score last week, I knew he was going to be a value. Because there wasn't much production, but the usage was outstanding. Again, first game back, 95% snap share. He only had 5 catches for 15 yards, but was targeted a team high 9 times and also had a 22-yard rush. He's actually ran the ball in every game this season, so he's they're finding ways to get him the football. How about his target numbers this season? This is, again, I think this is going to surprise most people. In 5 full games, 7, 11, 9, 9, and 9. 25% target share, 9 targets per game, has 5-plus catches in every game, and 1 carry in 4 straight. Again, manufacturing touches, and has that high floor with the 5 catches in every game. So it's going to be hard for him to fall short or underwhelm at this price point of $4,900. By the way, Packers defense, 9th fewest fantasy points of receivers, pretty good. However, they face the 9th fewest routes and the 5th fewest targets. They're allowing an NFL high 16.8 yards per reception and 9.9 yards per target. That is 5th high. So I wouldn't call it a great matchup by any means. And he could see Jair Alexander. I'm going to keep a close eye on reports to see if that happens because he's the better corner there in Green Bay. But even if he does, the price and the target value in this game, which I think is going to have a lot of points, is a good value.
Okay. Another set of receivers that we really like is the guys in Jacksonville, both DJ Chark and DeeDee Westbrook. Mike, why don't you break those two down for us, because they both look intriguing this week.
Yeah, I usually break down just two, but I really wanted to get into this since it's both of them. And you could almost apply Chris Conley here as well. He's not as much of a value, but
a little more of a dart throw for like a GPP kind of a thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But Chark at 6,600 is the 8th highest priced receiver. DeeDee is the 31st highest priced at 5,000 against the Bucs. And we're just picking on this secondary. They've really struggled. But, you know, Chark has double-digit fantasy points in 8 of 11 games, a touchdown in 6 of 11 games. He hit the 100-yard bonus 3 times. He's a little over his head with 8 touchdowns, but he's 4th at receiver with 10 end zone targets, so he's still getting used often near the goal line. A good target share there, too. And by the way, DeeDee Westbrook coming off a good game with 8 catches for 69 yards against Tennessee. He's been a little boom bust, but he does have 10 or more fantasy points in 6 of 9 games. And then, again, the Bucs defense.
Yep. Like,
how many times do we have to talk about it? They actually were like kind of effective last week against Atlanta. Still, the top 3 receivers for Atlanta all had 11 plus fantasy points. Like, they can't even, you know, even when they have a good game, they have a bad game in fantasy. So they've had the most fantasy points of receivers this season, over the past 8 weeks, over the past month, second most to the perimeter this season, most over the past 8 weeks, most to the slot. It's been bad. They face the most wide receiver pass routes and targets. They've had the second most catches and 18 touchdowns to wide receivers, the most receiving yards allowed. I mean, do you need any more evidence here? I mean, they just cannot stop wide receivers. Some of it is a product of how that offense operates, right? They, you know, a lot of interceptions. They're, you know, they're moving the ball down the field. They're scoring a lot of points. It puts a lot of pressure on the defense, and they have folded quite a bit. So Chark and Westbrook, and to some extent Conley, fine plays this week.
Okay, let's throw it over to Al, who's going to break down his big wide receiver for us this week.
Curtis Samuel is not the guy who's getting all the press. He's not the guy getting all the targets. DJ Moore has had an absolute explosion recently, a big come out year for him, and a breakthrough year as well. But what that's going to do is it's going to attract a lot of attention to him in tournaments. His percent is going much higher and climbing every single week. It's becoming very easy for people to just get in the habit of clicking on DJ Moore. So Curtis Samuel at 4,800 presents a good chance for leverage against everybody else who is going to just simply click on DJ Moore because he's there. Curtis Samuel still has over a 20% market share overall of the Panthers targets. He also has over a 20% market share of their red zone looks and has an end zone target in 4 of his past 6 games. So you have a good floor of targets, you have upside because of his big playability, and we have some touchdown equity built in here, as well as the leverage play off of the really high percent roster rate that I think DJ Moore is going to have week after week. The better a player does, the higher their salary goes, the higher that percentage goes in tournaments. So give me Curtis Samuel as a hedge play, as a leverage play off of all of the Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore players.
Okay. Like to hear that. I just love when Al talks strategy. I like how he just makes me a smarter DFS player. I'm a big fan of that. A couple other guys we like here. Alshon Jeffrey, if he's out there and he plays. We talked about that, you know, taking on the Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
Potentially a stack with Carson Wentz if he went that route. And Mike Evans, $6,900 against the Jacksonville Jaguars, priced $800 below Chris Godwin, who just blew up last week.
Wow.
I mean, it's hard to say he blew up last week. He's blown up a number of weeks, but he really went off last week. He looked fantastic. Mike, any reason for me to be concerned about AJ Boye potentially shadowing Mike Evans in this matchup?
I mean, he's going to shadow him, but he hasn't been nearly as effective that we need to worry about it.
Okay.
Right? He just hasn't moved the needle as much as he has in years past. Maybe being with Ramsey has helped him there. That hasn't been the case. So I do think he'll shadow Evans, not too worried about it, and a fine matchup for Godwin as well. So this offense should be fun.
Okay. Let's move ahead to tight ends, where it's tough to be able to talk about the tight end position this week without mentioning George Kittle, $6,100, taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Forget the Kittle aspect of it for 2 seconds. This game is just going to be fun to watch, to be able to see the Ravens offense go against this super exciting 49ers defense. But George Kittle has been absolutely fantastic the last couple of weeks. You know what? You're the stat guy. Hold on. Tell me what you like about George Kittle. I'll sit out here.
Just take my stat sheet, Daniel.
I'm not even looking at your stat sheet. This is all me. He's had a touchdown in each of the last two games, 6 catches in each of the last three. He's been absolutely fantastic. But this Baltimore Ravens defense is nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this will end up being a lower scoring game than we're used to. I mean, the Ravens defense has started out poor. I mean, they lost a lot of talent in the offseason. They've kind of picked it up. They've really picked it up as of late, I should say. And obviously, the 49ers defense has been terrific. So I'm wondering if this can end up being still a good game, but maybe a lower scoring game than maybe some are hoping for.
Sure.
But nonetheless, I still like George Kittle a ton. He's the third highest priced tight end on this slate, and it's too low at $6,100. It's just too low. The guy's been too good. 6+ catches in 7 of 9 games, a target share of at least 22% in 7 consecutive games, 12+ fantasy points. In 7 of his 9 outings this season, and touchdown in back-to-back games now after really bad luck early in the season in that department. And then here's the key. So I think a lot of people are going to be setting their line, and some of the battle with DFS, especially in tournaments, is finding, using guys that are successful when, you know, other people are not using them. For example, you know, I had a good week in the Millie Maker this past week, as did Al Zeidenfeld. I had AJ Brown in there, and he was like 1% rostered and had a huge game for the Titans. That'll move the needle in a big way.
Absolutely.
So I mention that because I think people will look at George Kittle and say, well, they're playing Baltimore and they've allowed the 5th fewest fantasy points at tight ends. So maybe I should pivot to another one of these top tight ends. However, look a little closer. So they played, we have our top 8 tight ends, right? The big 8 right now that are really the reliable tight ends in fantasy.
Yep.
They've only faced one of them. It's Travis Kelce, and he had a good game against them. 8 targets, 7 catches, and 89 yards. Daniel, here's the other tight ends that they face this season. You tell me if any of these guys scare you.
I'm ready.
Mike Gesicki.
Nope.
Charles Clay.
Nope.
Ricky Seals-Jones.
Nope.
Vance McDonald.
No.
Tyler Eifert twice.
No.
Jacob Hollister.
Nope.
Ben Watson.
Nope.
Darren Fells.
No.
Gerald Everett.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
So they've played one legitimate tight end all season.
They face one of those stars. I mean, otherwise it's borderline top 15 guys. You know, yeah. Everett's had his moments, of course. But 45% of the tight end units they faced have actually finished above their season average against Baltimore. That's right in the middle of the pack. I mean, they're basically a neutral matchup, even though if you just look at the points allowed, it looks like a really tough matchup. So I'm not too worried about it here with Kittle. And I think the fact that might scare people off makes him a more attractive play.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Kittle, $6,100 taken on Baltimore. If you wanted to go a little bit cheaper at the position, Evan Engram, $5,200, again, taking on the Green Bay Packers. We talked about this game. Evan Engram is the number 8 tight end in fantasy, even though he's missed 4 games.
Unreal, right?
Like, that's crazy.
And he's the 7th highest priced tight end at DraftKings in the main slate. That's too little. $5,200, that's a steal. I actually almost hesitated including him because he may not play, right? He's missed a lot of time.
Right.
But the key is, it's worth a discussion because if he goes, he's a tremendous value. 13.7 fantasy points per game this season. He's hit the 100-yard bonus twice, which is not something the tight ends do very often. So that's a big one. Career-high 8.6 targets per game this season, a career-high 23% target share.
Hold on a second. 8.6 targets per game is like, that's like, I don't want to say elite-level wide receiver numbers, but that's like...
That's a pretty good fantasy receiver.
That's a really good fantasy receiver that you're getting for $5,200.
Okay. Yep, exactly. And it's a good matchup, too. You know, the Packers' defense has been bad against tight ends. The 4th most fantasy points allowed, 6th most targets and receptions allowed, the 3rd most yards, 4th most touchdowns with 6, 7th most end zone targets, 8th or worst in yards per reception, yards per target, and catch rate. Great matchup. Great value. Just so much to like here with Engram.
Again,
this whole game. We love this game.
If he plays, you got to try to find a way to be able to get him in your lineup if you can. All right, let's move on to Smiz. Al, tell us who you like at tight end this week.
At tight end, Jack Doyle is simply too cheap. We have Eric Ebron going to IR. We also have T.Y. Hilton, who might miss. There's a lot of vacated targets here for us to try and soak up. He's caught 13 of his past 17 targets. He's priced at only $3,300 on DraftKings, and Tennessee is allowing the seventh highest red zone completion percentage this season in the league at 62.8%. You couple that with how much Indy wants to throw to their tight ends once they get into the red zone, and Jack Doyle becomes somebody who's been kind of a mediocre play all season. He's kind of been lukewarm for us all year long. Now he steps into a higher volume role, a higher expectation role of what he means to this offense. And I will always take players that are stepping into a higher volume role but aren't priced for it yet. Jack Doyle's price just hasn't come up enough with all the new injuries that have bridled themselves to the Indy Colts.
All right. Another guy that we like this week, obviously Travis Kelce, if you can find a way to get him in there. He's a guy that's just, it's hard to not try to find a way to make Travis Kelce work, but sometimes it's just a little bit overpriced based on what it is that we like. Mm-hmm. Hunter Henry, $5,800, taking on the Denver Broncos. Opponents are completing almost 73% of their tight end targets against the Broncos this year, Mike. That's fourth highest in the league. So Henry has a really nice floor, given that he's averaging 8.2 targets per game since coming back in week six. That's the second highest at that position since that time frame. So Hunter Henry, $5,800, really good value with how much volume he's getting there at the tight end position. Okay, we've run through all quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. Now we are at the point of the show where we say what happened last week. T. Lawton, 7, was a winner of our DFS league, 213.28. Congratulations, T. Lawton, 7. Bringing home the $25 number one prize. Cost no money for T. Lawton to enter. Did you know that? Yeah. It was free.
No way.
Yeah, cost no money.
We should have mentioned that at some point this year.
Should have said that. You had 154.62. That puts you in the top 50%, which is what we're going for here in 50-50s and double-ups.
Yeah, I need to go back and look. I think I've been in the top 50 percentile every week. Maybe not once. You know, it's good. I mean, that's our goal here.
That's what we're going for.
Our aim is cash games 50-50, so... you know, not gloating, just it's working.
It's
if
working.
It wasn't working, we would not do this podcast.
Exactly.
I get too much anxiety from being wrong that I don't want to do that. So,
all right, anyway. Mike, let us look at your week 7 lineup. Give it to us. Who are you starting this week?
I am starting. Let's see. I'm going Jameis Winston at quarterback. Big surprise there.
Big surprise, yeah.
Like him for sure.
Yep.
Since this is a cash game, I'm actually not stacking him, but obviously, you know, you don't have to follow our roster exactly. If you want to put in Evans or Godwin there, no problem. But Winston at quarterback, running backs, Leonard Fournette. We talked about him. Miles Sanders.
Yep.
Again, assuming Jordan Howard's out, he's a terrific value against Miami. Philip Lindsay in the flex, another running back.
Love that.
Tremendous value at 5,000.
Yep.
Wide receivers, Davante Adams. We talked about him. Sterling Shepard. We want lots of that game. Alshon Jeffrey playing Miami. If he's a go, I want him. I tried to use him last week. I had to pull him out because he ended up not playing. George Kittle at tight end. Again, too much of a value. I'm going to use a star at tight end. And then essentially punting tight end, or a defense here. I'm going to go with the Redskins at just 2,500.
Talk about punting at defense.
I'm leaving $200 on the table, too.
No way.
Yep.
You can take that home with you?
I'm going to take it home. I don't need it to beat Daniel Dopp.
All right.
I've done it. You know. By the way, I'm 7-5 against you this year.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Whatever.
Got an 80-point edge. So
congratulations.
So beat me. Come on.
You have a computer for a brain. So here's the deal. This is my lineup.
Let's go.
Week 13. This is a guy we didn't talk about. I'm rolling with Lamar Jackson, my quarterback.
Who?
Lamar Jackson.
That's a wide receiver.
The truth.
A wide receiver?
He is not a wide receiver. He's a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a running back.
How about the people saying that wasn't a thing 2 years ago?
Come
on. Or last year.
Come on.
It was the thing.
Come on.
People definitely said he should be a receiver.
It was a thing.
That was a thing.
Lamar Jackson with his rushing ability. I understand he's getting the 49ers. Listen, he's looked fantastic. He looked great against the New England Patriots earlier this year when we were like, but the Patriots are the best defense in the NFL, guys. Mm-hmm. And he just blew up New England. So I'm taking Lamar Jackson here at my quarterback. I'm putting in Christian McCaffrey at my running back. Man, those two studs. That's going to win me the week right there. Do you mean to read the rest of the lineup?
You're done.
We're good?
I know Al's going to pick your team.
All right, here's what else I have. I got Philip Lindsay at running back. I've got Ronald Jones in my flex. I like Ronald Jones. I think he's really good value here.
Okay.
My wide receivers, DJ Chark and DD Westbrook. I'm taking the value against those Tampa Bay Buccaneers and that secondary. Sterling Shepard is my third wide receiver. Thought about going with Curtis Samuel. Mm-hmm. They're both right at that same price point. If for any reason Sterling Shepard doesn't play this week, that's who I would slot in that spot. Mm-hmm. And then for my tight end, going Jack Doyle. Love the volume that I think he's going to get, especially like Al said, with Eric Ebron and IR. And then I'm taking the Browns
there
for my
go.
Defense. So we'll see what happens this week. Very excited about this. Like you said, you're 7-5. I got a couple of weeks to bring it back. But Al, won't you tell us which lineup do you prefer in week 13?
This week's lineup was very, very difficult for me to come to a decision about. I mean, Mike's lineup looks really good. Daniel's lineup looks really good. But I'm going to give the edge to Daniel because this is Thanksgiving. This is a holiday about family. And as much of a family man as Mike Clay is, I haven't seen as many tweets from his mom as I've seen from Daniel Dopp.
That's right.
So because Daniel Dopp's mom is the more active tweeter, I'm going with Daniel Dopp's lineup in week 13. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Well, that's garbage take right there.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you calling my mom's tweets garbage?
Excuse me. I post pictures of my kids sometimes. I don't see you posting a picture of your kids.
I don't. I literally don't have children. Well,
oh,
I mean, what
likely
is
likely excuse?
Okay.
Likely excuse.
All
Daniel.
Right. Fair. Fair, Mike
and
Clay.
By the way, and again, if you're just like you skip forward and missed like the beginning, Al did not see our lineups.
Has no idea what either one of our lineups look like.
That before
to be
show.
Fair, though, I do have Christian McCaffrey in my lineup, so we both know that he would pick my lineup.
Yeah, and we'll let him look and actually make a pick because he is 7-3 this season. So we'll let him make an actual pick after the fact, and we'll see how he did when we record this next week.
Absolutely. So we are going to be doing this live on video from here on out on the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page. If you want to check us live for the rest of the season, we're going to go all through the regular season and through the playoffs. Playoffs?
Wow.
There's only 2 weeks that we're not going to be doing this podcast, and that is going to be over the Christmas week and over the Pro Bowl week. So those 2 weeks, we're going to take a break. We hope you guys understand, but we're going to be here for the entire rest of the year. As Mike and Al have both said, we hope that you guys have an awesome Thanksgiving. Please spend time with your family. Tell your friends and family that you love them. That's what this time is for, to make sure that they know how important they are to you in your life. So please do that. Follow Mike Clay NFL on Twitter. Follow me at Daniel Dopp. Follow at Al Zeidenfeld. We will tweet out the link so that you can join us. You can have something fun to be able to do when your in-laws are driving you crazy over your Thanksgiving holiday. You can keep checking on that DFS lineup. And until then, we'll see you guys in week 14.
See you later.